late Dick Enberg used to say it. My, oh my, what an incredible week at the U.S. Open. Equally incredible win by Matt Fitzpatrick. Hi, welcome into the Grow Room with Bob and Jay. Jay Randolph Jr. and I will attempt to paint the picture of a Matt Fitzpatrick victory at the 122nd U.S. Open Championship. My thought, Jay, it's one of the all-time great U.S. Opens. It had just about everything. And from somebody that was quite a stick at a high amateur level, I'm gambling. I'm going to say that you found it very refreshing. Somebody like Matt Fitzpatrick would be able to go on and win a U.S. Open championship. Am I right?
Well, it's kind of been a while since we've had an old-school U.S. Open, the kind that you and I remember. And this venue presented it that way, and we got it. We got a lot of things in the mix. If you made a couple of big mistakes, you really ruined things. If you held it in tow and held it in check and maybe didn't make too many mistakes and kept yourself around going into the final round, you had a shot. I thought it was a tremendous U.S. Open. I thought, the way in which two guys, now granted, you know, Fitzpatrick is a world-class player and plays all over the world, and clearly Will Zalatoris and the ability that he has shown at majors and also on the PGA Tour is strong. But to see both of those guys in the final pairing coming down to the wire, and I'm not forgetting Scheffler either, but a friend of mine who's a really good player texted me about midway through the round and said, "Boy, these two guys are really playing strong, and they're holding strong," and they did. And I thought it was a great win for Fitzpatrick. And you know, as Will Zalatoris continues to say, "Mine is coming."
Well, kudos to my partner, Jay Randolph Jr. On earlier editions of In the Grill Room, he was touting the superior play of Will Zalatoris when nobody was saying that name. I will say this much, because I've been around long enough, Jay. What he has accomplished is amazing. I mean, second in the Masters, second in the PGA, now second in the U.S. Open. It's very quick to take the position, well, if he can do that, he's going to go on to win many a major. But, that's not always the case. I mean, 1999, Sergio Garcia almost wins a PGA championship going head-to-head with Tiger Woods, and they said, don't worry, he's going to win many a major. Well, he's only won one. I mean, past performance doesn't guarantee future success.
Absolutely not. You're exactly right. And as you remind us, there's only four of these a year. Only four of them. I mean, you have a 15-year career as a PGA Tour player. You're going to have a great bench and you're going to have a wonderful life. But, you know, that's 60 chances. It's not easy. And that's why it was great to see Fitzpatrick get his. Look at Rory trying to get another, Scheffler trying to have that Masters and U.S. Open. Like I said, I think the USGA, it never got quote unquote on the edge. This is an old school golf course that when you look at the championships that have been hosted there, they're pretty strong. Maybe it should get more into a 10-year rather than 30-year rotation. Or 35-year rotation. Let's hear from the young man that really got it done with some tremendous, tremendous ball striking in the final round. Your U.S. Open champion, Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's just the feelings out of this world. It's so cliche, but it's stuff you dream of as a kid. And to achieve it, I can retire a happy man tomorrow.
Jay, the refreshing attitude with which he accepted victory. I mean, good golly, the guy's wearing braces. He looks like he just won another U.S. Amateur, nevertheless a U.S. Open. And getting back to the point you made about 60 chances, if you're really lucky, bingo gives you 75 numbers. So, I mean, you know, 60 chances to win majors is really not a lot. And we're going to hear what he has to say now about that bunker shot. And then I'm going to give you the rest of the story, the great bunker shot on the 72nd hole. I've said it once, I'll say it again. If there's not a plaque in that bunker by now, there should be one. The shot that set up his improbable victory is, once again, Matthew Fitzpatrick.
I've been really struggling this year with his fairway bunker play. The way the lie was, it forced me not to go towards the pin. It kind of forced me to go well left anyway. And if I hit it straight, it was kind of a chip across the green or whatever it was. But I just feel like, you know, I'm a fast player, and when I look back, it just all happened so fast. It was like just kind of natural ability took over, and just played the shot that was at hand. If I was a junior trying to hit a, you know, trying to hit it close, and I didn't mean to do that, but I just committed to the shot we kind of planned, and came out a bit squeezy fade, and it was it was amazing. I just felt I had to hit the green. You know, if I could hit the green, if I made par, it puts pressure on Will. I knew full well Will was going to hit it close. He's one of the best approach players on tour. I knew he was going to give himself a chance. And when I hit that shot, I thought, okay, well, you know, at least I've got a chance too. And I was a little bit worried. I gave him the line. And I was saying to Billy that I had that put in the amateur in the morning session in the final. And I actually really fancied it, and I thought it turned more than it did, and I practiced it in practice as well. But I think the whole situation, I was just, you know, trying to make a par in 18 and you know, put the pressure on him, force him to make a birdie.
Well, he uses the word pressure. I happen to be very good friends with Billy Forster. He's been a caddy for 40 years, never won a major, so you can imagine. But back on that 72nd tee, Billy had said to Matt, what do you want to hit? Matt says, I think I'll go with driver. And Billy gets him off the club, says, no, why not a three-wood? A three-wood be perfect here. And Matt says, you sure? I really want to hit driver. Billy said, no, three-wood's the play. And then he turns it into that bunker. Billy Forster said, from the moment that ball landed in the bunker till that miraculous shot landed on the green, he said he was a nervous wreck, because he said, good golly, they're going to be saying I talked him out of hitting a driver, and he didn't go on to win. So there was not only pressure on the player, Jay, but a lot of pressure on the caddy. But I guarantee you they're going to be talking about that shot for a long time to come.
Well, here's the thing. You know, the reaction of the NBC broadcasters was if we had another Mito Jr., you know, or we had a Mito situation going on. Once he got up, and he just talked about it, the pace at which he hit the shot, he had to have confidence. It was a tremendous shot. You had to hit, you had to make the play he did, and that's what he did. But I thought the reaction from the broadcasters was just a little much, especially with the one-shot lead and a guy who has the ability to hit quality shots. But you are right. It will be reminiscent of Mr. Lyle's bunker shot. To me, his bunker shot was much harder than what Fitzpatrick did. I'm not taking anything away from Matthew Fitzpatrick. He put himself in a bad spot. He had to make a quality shot, and he did. And it was a real quality shot, and it put a situation in play where Zalatoris was going to have to make birdie.
Let me draw on your vast experience, not only broadcasting this game, but playing this game, as I alluded to, at a very high level collegiate-wise. What motivates a player these days besides the cash, Jay? Do you think it's the same as when you were playing?
Well, I don't. Sadly enough, I don't know that the cash. Well, I shouldn't say sadly. I don't know that when I played, it was cash that motivated you. And I hate to think that cash is the 100% motivator. And I've known tour players that are business guys and that carry briefcases. And you know, that's okay. To me, while they were tremendous businessmen, many of them, especially Arnold and Jack and Tiger, as it relates to their wealth and their ability to get sponsors and build golf courses and things like that. You know, I guess I go to Rahm. You know, I'm not playing for the money. I'm playing for that U.S. Open trophy. And it, I know it crushed him on Sunday not to be able to put himself in the mix.
Yeah, very well said. I thought what Rahm said was excellent also. Well, here's what Matt Fitzpatrick said on why he plays.
I don't know. I've always felt like I had it. I've always been competitive, and that comes from my dad as well. My dad was always competitive with us as juniors, and I just love winning. You know, I absolutely love winning, and I don't care who it is. Like, I just want to beat everyone. And although it doesn't come across and, like, you know, I don't show it much because I like to be quite reserved. Yeah, I just love beating everyone. It's as simple as that. Just love winning.
Well, you can't fault him for that. And as I touched upon, Jay, 40 years professional caddy, Billy Forster, but never won a major. And Fitz knew exactly what it meant to Billy Forster to be on the bag. And this is what he had to say.
It means the world to Billy, yeah. Yeah, I can't tell you how much it means to Billy. It's unbelievable. I know it's something he's wanted for a long, long, long time. So to do it today is just is incredible. And we ended up working together. I was kind of in between caddies. He just split up with Lee and just happened to work out. And it's so funny. He kept telling me on the first time on the job, he's like, yeah, I'll just do 25 weeks and, you know, maybe get a fill in for the others. I think he's had about 2 weeks off in 3 or 4 years.
So Billy loves being on that bag, and certainly Jay, as you can hear, Fitz loves having Billy on the bag.
In all honesty, and if you watched a little bit of the reactions, it may have meant more to Billy than it did to Fitz, because I think Fitz thinks he's got more coming. But I think Billy, after being with Westwood, and some of the guys that he had been with that he thought it was going to win majors with, I don't think he ever thought he might get one. I mean, maybe when he got this horse, he said, I'm going to ride him till, you know, I can't get any more. But, I mean, he looked stunned, and I'm sure the happiness was there that evening. But, I mean, it was more of a, this really happened.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I know Billy pretty well. It's been a little over 72 hours since that winning shot occurred, and Billy took and kissed the flag. He's still celebrating, and he'll probably be celebrating till we get to St. Andrews, knowing Billy Forster. And they say, we know it's not about the money in a major, but for Matt Fitzpatrick to take $1.5 million home, $1.5 is what the consolation prize for your
he
boy.
$3.15
Yeah, Will Zalatoros. And he had this to say about that final round and the Fitz win.
I battled like crazy. You obviously say that about every U.S. Open round you play. But considering where I drove it today, the fact that I was even under par was obviously pretty nice. You know, I thought I made a lot of nice putts, you know, just to keep myself in it. Stealing one on 9, saving par on 13. You know, I really felt great with a putter all week. And, you know, I had a great putt on 18. It just happened to hang out there. And, you know, it was fun, man. It was, you know, Matt's shot on 18 is going to be shown probably for the rest of U.S. Open history, because that I walked by it and I thought that going for it was going to be ballsy, but the fact that he pulled it off and even had a birdie look was just incredible. So hats off to him. I mean, he played great all week, obviously, and he was solid all around today.
Solid guy you like there, Jay.
Yeah, you know, I've talked about his collegiate golf coach, Jerry Haas, the brother of Jay Haas, at Wake Forest. I mean, they just had a feeling that this guy had it, and that extra something. And boy, he shows it at majors. And, you know, it's also very good for the United States Ryder Cup team, too, I would tell you in that regard, along with another guy who'll be on that next team, and that's Scottie Scheffler, who came oh so close to potentially that Masters and U.S. Open victory, too, in one season. But he has already, Bob, you know, we talk about the dough now, and we're going to talk about it with Liv. He has set a new record for tour, earning the most in a single season for a year, at $12,896,000, and we still got 10 events to go. And those are big money events, some of them real big. Four wins, three runners up. I mean, unless somebody does something Tiger-like the last 10 events, he's your player of the year. And how about Hideki? Fantastic 65 in the final round, low round of the day, along with Colin Morikawa, who had the red range on Saturday, 77, ouch, but came back with an incredible 65. This morning, as we tape our program today, there were rumors flying everywhere that Morikawa was going to be joining the LIV Tour on the same day that Brooks Koepka apparently has resigned from the PGA Tour and will become a LIVer, if you will. Morikawa was on Twitter, on his own Twitter, and said, despite the rumor mill, I am fully behind and staying on the PGA Tour.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Saddened to hear that Brooks Koepka has decided to jump for the money. I mean, that's the only way you can put it. We'll have that story's far from being told. So,
Bob, let me ask you on you know, as we're starting to kind of get theories on why some of the guys have jumped, and the scary thing would be a Morikawa, a Zalatoris, a JT, a Spieth, you know, a guy like that at this point, a Scheffler, obviously, would be tremendously disruptive. But, you know, with the injuries that Koepka's had the last couple of years, you know, you wonder if the money grab was the reason for him. Just like maybe Dustin thinking, I'm not going to do this much longer. I'm taking the big money. And Phil, obviously, you know, based on his performance at this year's United States Open, isn't going to be winning anything anytime soon. So, you know, I find it interesting that Koepka going to join his brother. Maybe that was part of the deal.
Well, there's a little doubt in my mind that it was part of the deal. I think Brooks early on said, you throw a bone to Chase and take him, and then I'll come aboard. Had a discussion earlier with Peter Jacobson, and he said, you know, conservatively, Brooks Koepka worth a couple of $100 million right now with what he's done already. So for argument's sake, let's say, and I don't know what the dollar figure is, let's say he's going to get another $200 million to play. So Peter Jacobson said, what's he going to do with it? You know, once you got $200 million, why do you need another $200 million?
Yeah, I mean, now we're talking about setting up, I guess, your family for 300-400 years. Unless somebody does something real dumb.
Well, unless they go out with Jay Randolph and Bob Bubka, then $200 million.
We'll figure out what to do with that money.
we're the best. Certainly, Jay, a memorable national championship. We'll undoubtedly hear more from Mr. Matthew Fitzpatrick. In fact, I'm already looking on to seeing him when we get to St. Andrews in just a couple of weeks.
No question about it. I think he's looking at it too. 10 weeks left on the schedule. Guys are jockeying to get in position to make the playoffs, be in the best position once the FedEx Cup playoffs begin. Obviously, the Tour Championship. How'd you like $18 million? $18 million for the first place FedEx Cup check. But they're not playing for enough money because they only playing for $18 million first place there. It's the Travelers Championship this week, Bob, in the Hartford area. The players love it. They're treated really well. The fans come out, and you know what? They're rewarded with a good field. Look at some of the names. Scheffler, McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, Shoffley, Spieth, Sam Burns, who keeps, you know, winning golf tournaments. Really good field the week after a major championship, Bob.
Well, when you dig into that a little bit, and this is purely unofficial, you know, appearance money is illegal on the PGA Tour, but there's nothing against having somebody as a guest speaker for dinner to the tune of $200,000 or $100,000, and I understand there's quite a few dinners surrounding that Travelers Championship.
A couple of dinners being served. Well, I think, you know, we're going to let the live stuff go for a week and not spoil the U.S. Open. As we mentioned during the show, Brooks Koepka has resigned from the PGA Tour, and he has joined LIV. The belief is the next to fall is Abraham Answer, but that's not confirmed. He was rumored along with the Morikawa, who, as we said earlier, made the statement, no thanks. They're coming up in Portland in a little bit, and we'll see what happens. It's just a situation we'll keep following. But one that kind of popped out, just out of nowhere today with all the golf news that's going on was that Nick Faldo, Bob, has decided to retire from his CBS broadcasting news. And they immediately filled the position, I guess, with Trevor Immelman.
Yeah, that was quite a surprise. I'll tell you what will not be a surprise. Nick Faldo will be working for Liv. That's just my opinion, purely my opinion and my crystal ball that has been pretty right for a long time. Watch out for Mr. Faldo joining up with Greg Norman and Trevor Immelman.
You heard it here first on the Grill Room.
Trevor Immelman, I wish him a lot of luck. Probably wish more luck to Jim Nance.
I would totally agree with you on that call, Bob. Well, that's it for this week. We'll be back with you in 2 weeks as the Grill Room with Bob and Jay is going to go on vacation for a week. We need it. So in our absence, play well and hit them straight.